The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Governor Kathy Hochul says her administration is providing new policy guidelines to state agencies to better serve LGBTQ plus New Yorkers. Hochul closed out Pride Month Sunday in New York City to announce the changes that she says will, quote, enable state agencies to better understand the utilization of state programs by LGBTQ plus communities. The guidance includes direction on best practices in the use of gender-neutral language for web content, reports, policies, and other documents. The fruits of a $4.6 million makeover of a South Buffalo park will be unveiled later today. Congressman Tim Kennedy, Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown, and other elected officials will be on hand this afternoon at Oak Hill Park prior to the start of the first baseball games since the start of the construction project. With financing secured by Kennedy and expertise provided by the Buffalo Bisons, the overhaul of the park included the installation of new artificial turf, indoor batting cages, lighting, and a scoreboard. Gas prices remain unchanged in Buffalo as the busiest travel week of the year begins. According to the AAA of Western and Central New York, the average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline in Buffalo stands at $3.58, while the national average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline increased 4 cents over the last week to $3.49. The price is 4 cents lower than last year at this time. A record 60.6 million people are projected to travel by car at least 50 miles during the Independence Day holiday week. Questions of transparency continue to revolve around the bankruptcy proceedings involving the Buffalo Catholic Diocese. According to the Buffalo News, Jones Day, the law firm representing the diocese in U.S. bankruptcy court, has billed $150,000 for its legal work opposing the release of documents under New York State's Freedom of Information Law. The documents in question include thousands of pages of diocese files, which detail the sexual abuse complaints filed against clergy members. An investigation is underway into a Sunday morning crash on the Niagara section of the thruway that claimed the life of a 20-year-old. State police say the driver of the one-car crash, Damarie Lattimore of Hamburg, was killed when the car struck the end of the Niagara Street exit ramp. A 19-year-old passenger who was not wearing a seatbelt was ejected from the vehicle and also suffered serious injuries. The Niagara County Sheriff's Office is investigating a Sunday morning rollover that sent three people to the hospital. Deputies say the crash occurred just before 4 a.m. when the vehicle went off Saunders Settlement Road and was pinned against a tree. Volunteers from the Sanborn Fire Department were able to free the driver, while onlookers were able to assist the front seat and back seat passengers. All three were transported by ambulance to ECMC. The driver, 22-year-old Jordan Wilson of Lockport, was issued a ticket for unlicensed operation. The rear seat passenger was given a ticket for failing to wear a seatbelt.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Want to congratulate everybody who took part in this year's 11-day power play. It was some 2,500 skaters this year, we understand, raising $1.6 million. And I didn't hear as much about the power play this year, mainly because of my former colleague, Michael Morosiak, who used to take part and I think still does in the power play, helped raise thousands of dollars on his own. Not around to pump things up. But again, congratulations to everybody that was involved. Now, over 8 years, $10 million has been raised. Well, it's a holiday weekend in Canada as people celebrate July the 1st, Canada Day. But a strike by mechanics at the country's second largest airlines has disrupted travel plans for more than 100,000 passengers across North America. Correspondent Dan Karpinchuk from Toronto reports.
Tens of thousands of angry, frustrated travelers have taken to social media to complain about the cancellations at WestJet. Well over 800 flights so far. The Union for the Calgary-based Airlines Mechanics, the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association, had reached a tentative agreement with WestJet a couple of weeks ago, but the nearly 700 members rejected it. What followed was 2 weeks of intense talks with both sides, claiming the other was refusing to bargain in good faith. Then the Labour Minister, Seamus O'Regan, ordered binding arbitration, apparently heading off a strike. But in a surprise move, the mechanics set up picket lines on Friday evening. Diederik Penn is the president of WestJet and says his team is outraged.
Canadians are missing wedding celebrations, well-deserved holidays. They're missing important medical appointments, family reunions, and the stress and the devastation this is causing is unnecessary and hurts all of us. We're outraged.
Penn was joined at a news conference by the airline CEO, Alexis van Hunsbrück, who added that the Minister of Labour ordered both parties to submit to binding arbitration through the Canadian Industrial Relations Board, or CIRB, in order to avoid the chaos that ensued over the weekend.
The CIRB and AMFA, who has gone on strike, have actually not followed what the minister wanted, which is industrial peace and the resolution of this on an arbitrated basis. So we are now faced with a situation that makes it extremely difficult for our guests and that will only grow in difficulties and in magnitude as we progress through time.
Hunsbrück called the strike absurd and destructive. The airline had offered the mechanics a 23% salary increase over 4 years. John Graddick is with the Global Aviation Leadership Program at McGill University. He says it was never made clear that union members could not strike.
One of the conditions that was put on this binding arbitration was that both parties basically come to the table and have a conversation with the CIRB to come to an agreement. What was missing was really a back to work or a prohibition on a work stoppage, and that was not ordered neither by the minister nor granted by the CIRB.
And on that issue, WestJet has called on Ottawa for urgent clarity on whether a strike and arbitration can exist simultaneously. Of course, none of this helps the tens of thousands of Canadians and Americans who use WestJet, who have now had their travel plans thrown into chaos. But WestJet mechanics like Johannes Petz appear to be digging in.
We keep airplanes safe, and we want to be remunerated for that and get a fair deal out of it.
Under the law, WestJet has an obligation to find stranded passengers alternate travel arrangements within 48 hours, either through one of its own flights or with a competitor. WestJet President Diederik Penn says the airline would refund passengers while offering overnight hotel accommodations for those who are stranded. On Sunday, the two sides were talking, but that hasn't been enough yet for the mechanics to call down their strike. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.